The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. To begin with, I want to say I was very moved to see how many people are here right now, and there's been a lot of church going in the last 10 days, and I know today is a holy day of obligation, so you have to be here, but we also all know that these days, that's no guarantee that people are going to come to church, so I'm glad to see you all here, and I want you to know that the Lord will certainly not be outdone in generosity, and he's going to bless you for your fidelity to the holy days. Now, we celebrate today the Feast of Mary, Mother of God, which always comes on the 8th day of the octave of Christmas. And it's a really beautiful feast, and it's one of those theological feasts, right, where we're celebrating a theological concept. And it's one that has always had a little bit of controversy attached to it. Right, I believe it was the Council of Ephesus at 425 that defined that we could call Mary and had to call Mary the God-bearer, Theotokos. And it's something that, especially since the Protestant Reformation, remains controversial today. Right, and the reason that the controversy first arose and why they had to discuss it at the council is there were a group of people, and generally speaking, heretics always mean well. Right, heretics hold the beliefs they hold because they think they're right. And there were theologians who thought in the early church that if we were to call Mary the Mother of God, that this was somehow blasphemy. We couldn't really say that God was born of a woman or had a human mother. And so one of the solutions that was proposed is that we call Mary not the God-bearer, but the Christ-bearer, and say she's not the Mother of God, but that she's the Mother of Jesus' humanity. But you can see, if you really think about it for a few minutes, what's at stake here. If we're going to sort of divide up the person of Jesus, and we're going to say some of the things we can attribute to his divinity, and some of the things that we're going to attribute to his humanity, think about what gets lost in the process. Because if we can't say that God had a mother, then we certainly can't say that God suffered, because God as God is impassible. We certainly can't say that God died. And so we can really quickly begin to see what is at stake in this question of whether or not we can call Mary the Mother of God. And so what the Council Fathers decided, and this has been church teaching for, 1,500, 1,600 years, is that they came up with something called the communication of idioms, which is a really fancy way of saying that anything that we can say about the person of Jesus, we can apply to the whole person of Jesus. And it's this theological principle that allows us to say that God was born and had a human mother, that God suffered, that God died. It's this principle, the communication of idioms, which came about in response to the question of whether we could call Jesus God's mother. This is what allows us to believe that God really fully entered into humanity. That he really united a human nature to himself, and that the second person of the Trinity really became man, and that God experienced humanity from the inside out. That's a really profound thing, right? God made us, and God is omniscient and all-powerful and all that. But one thing that's really new about the incarnation is that God had never experienced what it means to be man. He'd never shared in our experience of humanity. And this is something that changed in the incarnation. By taking on a human nature, he really entered into humanity and experienced our human lives from the inside out. So there's our theology. Now let me give a little bit of reflection. So because Jesus really did have a human mother, think about all the things that implies. First of all, we can assume that Jesus received DNA from his mother, right? In receiving a human nature, he received a real human nature. He received a body, right? And because he didn't have a human father, we could probably say that he looked like Mary, that he looked a lot like Mary. This is sort of random, and we can come up with many examples, but this came to my mind this morning. I was listening this summer to a talk about how children learn to be bilingual. And one of the things that they've learned in studies is that a child, because every language has rhythm and tone to it, right? So languages sound differently. If a child is in the womb in a home where it hears its mother speaking two languages, it picks up the rhythm and the tone of those languages so that it's born with an affinity for the language that it heard in the womb. And that means, now, obviously the infant child doesn't understand words, but what it means is the infant comes out recognizing this language is a familiar language. This is the family language. And if it hears, so let's say the infant heard English and Spanish in the womb, it would come into the world with an affinity for that language. And when it heard the tones and the rhythms of English and Spanish, it would recognize both of those as sort of home languages. But if it heard somebody speaking Italian, its brain would say, this is something foreign and unfamiliar. This is not part of our tribe, right? And so I only bring this up as it's a reflection on just how much a human person is shaped by its mother before it even comes into the world. And that God, who really enters into humanity and really has a human mother, we can see how much Mary actually shapes who Jesus is and shapes God's experience of being human. That God's first experience of humanity is the loving embrace of his mother. Now we know that God is perfect, and we know that Mary is as perfect as human persons can be, and so we can only imagine what sort of perfect love and tenderness and affection must have existed between Jesus and his mother Mary. And when we reflect on that, we maybe have a little bit of a glimpse, a little bit of a starting point for reflecting on what must have been in Jesus' heart when, in his dying words on the cross, he gave this mother that he loved so much to us so that the mother of God could be our mother as well.